Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and it's wonderful to have you with us on this Friday edition of the show. All week, we've been hearing a fantastic teaching by Derek Prince on gratitude, having a grateful heart, knowing about the nation's heritage, knowing about your first Thanksgiving, all of these things that have been a great preparation for Thanksgiving next week. And if you haven't been with us, be sure to log on the website at derekprince.org. You'll find all of the shows there available for download and streaming. And you'll also find a lot of other wonderful information about Derek Prince and about Derek Prince Ministries. Now, today, Derek is going to be talking to us about something that is so critical in our media climate. He's going to talk about speaking well of the USA, speaking well of America. You know, we have lapsed as a nation into a sarcastic, critical, complaining kind of mode. Part of it's been the war in Iraq. Part of it has been just sort of our media climate of hammering liberals, hammering conservatives. You know, that whole kind of Rush Limbaugh versus Al Franken sort of vibe. But you know what? There's a more biblical perspective. There's a higher way to live that blesses the nation, entrenches truth, and breaks that spirit of criticism that tends to dominate our lives. Be sure and listen as Derek talks to us about this business of speaking well of the USA. And so let's listen as Derek talks to us about speaking well of the USA.
In my talks this week, I've been sharing with you some important practical ways in which we can show our gratitude to God and our country. I've spoken specifically about two ways. First, by praying for our nation and its government, which is an obligation the Scripture places upon all of us as believers. And secondly, by acting as salt. I quoted the words of Jesus, "You are the salt of the earth." And I emphasized two particular aspects of salt, which are by no means the only ones. First of all, salt gives flavor to that which would otherwise lack it. And so it's our responsibility to commend the society, the community, whatever area of life we live in, to God, to give that particular section of society flavor. Our presence should make a decisive difference in God's attitude toward that area where we live. You remember I took the example of Sodom, where God said that 10 righteous men in that city could cause him to postpone or withhold his judgment on a city that probably numbered 10,000 or more people. So one, in a sense, can withhold judgment from 10,000. That's acting as salt. Secondly, I pointed out that salt restrains corruption. I pointed out that corruption is at work in our society. We cannot change that fact. But by acting as salt, we can restrain it. We can hold it back until all the purposes of God's mercy have been worked out. And I challenge those of you who were listening yesterday to act as salt, to stand up, to be counted by for righteousness, to identify yourselves with the forces of good and to take a stand against the forces of evil and corruption. Today I'm going to share with you a third important way in which we can show our gratitude. And that is one that may not at first seem very obvious to you, but it is to speak well of our country, the United States. As I've given you to understand in my talks, I am not an American by birth. I'm an American by choice. I chose American citizenship. I was brought up in Europe. And I have to say this from my experience in Europe, both in England and in the countries of the continent of Europe, that I do not know of any European country whose citizens are regularly so critical and so negative in their comments and their talk about their political leaders as the people of America normally are. I cannot think of another nation where people would regularly permit themselves to speak with the lack of respect and the cynicism for their political leaders, which is almost fashionable in some circles in the United States. And yet this is totally illogical. Why? Because Americans have the privilege of electing their own leaders. So when we criticize the leaders we've elected, what are we doing? We're criticizing our own choice. The finger we point at our leaders is really a finger pointed at us. I want to tell you that persistent negative talk has a powerful negative effect on our whole nation. I was impressed the other day when I was reading about God's dealings with Israel, and particularly with the land of Israel. And in the prophet Ezekiel, I found two passages. One that spoke about the desolation of the land of Israel, and one that spoke about its restoration. They're both found in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel. And what impressed me was this, that the desolation was associated with negative talk about the land. Contrarywise, the restoration was associated with positive talk about the land. And I saw that these two go together. Negative talk brings desolation. Positive talk brings restoration. And conversely, that restoration will be manifested in a positive way of talking. Here are the scriptures. Ezekiel 36:3, the Lord is speaking to the land and the mountains of Israel. And he says, you became the object of people's malicious talk and slander, and the result, desolation. Then later on in the chapter, in verse 15, he promises restoration. And this is what he says. No longer will I make you hear the taunts of the nations, and no longer will you suffer the scorn of the peoples.
You know, I want to emphasize something that Derek has said. He said that persistent negative talk about our nation and leaders has a profound negative effect. As I've had the privilege of sharing with you before, I get to work in Washington, D.C. a bit, in the White House, up on the Hill, and I work with some of our nation's most senior leaders. And I will tell you that there are days that the heaviness is so thick you could cut it with a knife. People battle depression. People battle a sense of aimlessness. And I am completely convinced that it's a matter of spiritual curses, of criticism, of the negative things that are being said, and the spiritual forces that are released against them. One of the greatest spiritual battlegrounds I've ever seen is Washington, D.C., and I think a lot of it is because of the after effect of spiritual forces that are unleashed in the rest of the country. More of this wonderful teaching as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Of all the books in the Bible, one speaks most clearly to the needs of the soul, the Psalms. When you need assurance, the Lord is my shepherd. Or when fear grips your mind and heart, and no evil shall befall us. Now Derek Prince escorts you through these wonderful words of comfort in Through the Psalms with Derek Prince. This powerful book offers Derek's unique personal insights into all the Psalms and provides a helpful index to the scriptures that speak to your specific needs. In writing this book, it was Derek's sincere prayer that his personal meditations would help you draw closer to God than ever before. To order your copy of Through the Psalms with Derek Prince for only $14.95, call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Going Through the Psalms with Derek Prince will set you on a course of refreshing discovery and makes a wonderful gift for Christmas. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or order your copy securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. And if you've been with us this week, you know that we've been in a wonderful series about gratitude. And today, Derek has been teaching us about speaking well of the USA, about watching our words about our nation and our leaders. This is such a profound teaching, and I've experienced it so much myself working in D.C. and working in politics. I believe that we're learning an important key about how to bless and honor our nation. Let's listen as Derek teaches us speaking well of the USA.
I really question whether the great majority of Americans have any concept of how much harm is brought to our nation by persistent, negative, critical talk. And often the people guilty are religious people. There's something about religious people that they feel in some way they demonstrate their righteousness and their cleverness if they can criticize others. I want to tell you that's completely incorrect. You are not demonstrating your righteousness nor your cleverness. You're demonstrating the fact that you're a very negative person. And really, you need to change. Let me point out to you three results of negative talk commonly experienced in a nation. First of all, negative talk lays a heavy burden on political leaders and such people as law enforcement agents. In fact, in this nation today, some of the law enforcement agents are just about ready to give up because of the totally cynical, negative attitude of the people they're supposed to be helping and protecting. Secondly, negative talk creates a general atmosphere of pessimism, and this has a measurable negative effect on the whole economy. You speak enough against America, especially overseas, as an American. You criticize your own nation, and down goes the value of the dollar. That's cause and effect. You can probably break the value of the dollar. If enough people talk against America long enough, the result will be an economic crisis. Thirdly, negative talk promotes bitterness, jealousy, and rivalry amongst different sections of the people. The more we criticize, the more critical we become. We turn against one another, we criticize one another, we don't like the color of other people's skins, we don't like their racial or their religious background, we don't like their culture, their style of life. An atmosphere of bitterness and rivalry and hatred is generated by negative talk. We are not doing our job as Christians if we indulge in all that. We should be the opposite. We should be the people who speak positively. We should be the people not who are part of the problem, but who are part of the solution. I've pointed out the disastrous effects of persistent evil speaking about our nation. And now I want to look for a moment at the other side of the coin, the results of speaking well. First of all, I want to say that to speak well about the United States is to be realistic. I was born in India. I was educated in Britain. Before I was 20, I'd visited nearly all the nations of Western Europe. Since then, I've visited more nations than I care to count. I speak probably 8 or 10 languages. I'm not theorizing. I've lived in other countries. I spent 8 years of my life in Africa. When I hear Americans dissatisfied and discontented with their nation, something rises up in me that wants to say, you should take a trip to Siberia, or you should spend a few years in an underprivileged nation in the third world, or in a corrupt dictatorship in some other corner of the world. You have not learned to appreciate your blessings. I say objectively that I do not know of any nation anywhere on the earth in which Christians enjoy greater opportunities and greater privileges than they do in the United States. What is our attitude? Are we going to return evil for good? Are we going to be critical and negative? Oh, there's much to regret in the United States today. There are many things that need to be changed, but they won't be changed by being negative. They won't be changed by critical attitudes. They'll be changed by people with a positive approach, with faith, people who know how to pray, people who can demonstrate what is good and not what is evil, people who act as salt. I'm going to close in prayer. Father, first of all, we want to repent as Christians for the many, many times we've been negative and critical when we shouldn't be. We ask you to forgive us, and we want to say today that we thank you for the many special blessings and privileges that we enjoy in this nation, and we ask your blessing upon our nation for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to quote back to you something that Derek said that I think is so important. He said, I really question whether the great majority of Americans have any concept of how much harm is brought to our nation by persistent, negative, critical talk. And often the people most guilty are religious people. You know, it's absolutely true. For some reason, though the Word of God tells us as Christians to govern our talk, to be careful about our words, many of us feel that we can be just as angry and as vicious as we want to be when it comes to politics and when it comes to speaking of our nation. We might never speak ill of a pastor, might never speak ill of a fellow Christian, but we will rip the president or rip a congressman or a senator or some political figure with the most vicious words. And I have to tell you, you, as I've said repeatedly in this series, I have the opportunity of working in D.C., and I see the effects of this. You know, I'm going to be very specific here. If I want to get a negative, groaning, bitter response in most churches, especially conservative Bible-believing churches, all I have to do is mention, for example, Bill Clinton, mention Teddy Kennedy, and I am going to get angry, vicious, mean-spirited talk of a kind that should never come out of a Christian's mouth. Now, whatever our differences may be with people like this politically, it doesn't remove the obligations of the Word of God from our lives. And so we have an obligation to speak well. In fact, I love the passage in Acts that describes the fact that once Paul realized that an unrighteous high priest was in fact the high priest, that Paul repented of speaking ill of him, even though the man was unrighteous. Then he quoted the Old Testament scripture that you should not speak ill of the leader of your people. These are principles we need to come back to, especially in the New Testament era, because they have spiritual power. We're cursing our leaders. Listen, there's so much more, including a special guest with me here in the studio when Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
The passing of Derek Prince did not mean the end of Derek Prince Ministries. Instead, it marked a new beginning.
If I had only one message to leave to posterity, my family, my friends, whoever it might be, I would say it in three words. God is faithful.
And to succeed, we need your help. Through your gifts and offerings, you play a part in taking Derek's powerful and practical teaching to countless lives and hearts. Through the printed word, audio, video, and more, you keep the ministry of Derek Prince alive and active throughout the world. And of course, your partnership makes it possible to keep ministry, encouragement, and biblical insights coming to you and your family as well. For that, we are very grateful. To honor both the memory and the wishes of Derek Prince, will you stand with us as we continue the work he started so well and loved so much? Prayerfully consider taking an active part in carrying on the legacy of Derek Prince's life and ministry by making the most generous gift you can to Derek Prince Ministries. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit our secure website at derekprince.org. Please make the most generous gift you can and be assured your gifts will be used prayerfully and prudently to keep the teaching of Derek Prince coming to you and others. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us on the web at derekprince.org.
God is faithful.
Thank you for standing with us.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. It's great to have you back with us on this Friday edition of the show. With me today in the studio is Dick Leggett, who is the president of Derek Prince Ministries. Dick, it's great to have you with us today.
Thanks, Stephen. Good to see you again.
You know, I'm loving this series that Derek is in. Of course, you probably know that because I'm a historian, love history, love the history of the Pilgrims and the Puritans and all of that kind of thing in our history.
Right there with you.
And love the fact that Derek wrote that fantastic book on shaping history through prayer and fasting. But, you know, I'm thinking about this extremely strategic Thanksgiving this year. We're at war as a nation. We've had crises in the Middle East. We're still recovering from natural disasters at home. And it just strikes me that this is such an important time. What are your thoughts as we head into this all-important Thanksgiving season?
Well, I think it's great that you mentioned Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. This was a book that Derek did back in, I think, 1973, 74, as he was looking at the advent of the bicentennial celebration of the United States. And what foresight he had to begin addressing the idea of praying, not only for our nation. That book includes prayers and stories of answered prayers for nations all around the world,
Absolutely.
Especially World War II. So it's a powerful book. I was just on the phone today with a good friend, Lou Engel, who is a real prayer warrior. I mean, he's a wild man in prayer. I love it. Well, for Lou, that book has really set the tone for his life. Shaping history through prayer and fasting, and he is not only talking about it, living it, but also has a core of volunteers who are basically implementing the principles of that book. So prayer is a powerful thing.
And I think what's important is, as Derek is referencing the Pilgrims and the Puritans, specifically the Pilgrims of the Mayflower, you know, they said they sailed for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. And there's something that I think we've lost in our country, and it's the sense that a legacy or a mandate or a calling can pass from generation to generation.
Oh, that's great.
There's a very real sense in which Christians today who are willing to take up the gauntlet of prayer and intercession for their land, not to mention leadership in a way that restores the land, really are living in the wake of the legacy of our forefathers in this country. And I really see DPM very much a player in that. As you've said, you know, Derek's materials influence somebody like Lou, who's right on the front lines, but I'm sure there are many, many others. How do you see that sort of forerunner calling on DPM?
Well, it's pretty amazing when you realize that, I mean, we've both run into people up on the Hill, Capitol Hill, who have been very much influenced by Derek and his legacy of teaching. We do stand in a place where we're basically receiving the baton that Derek and others have passed along to us to be praying for the leaders of our nation specifically, because that's where God has called us to be. You know, when we were talking about doing this segment together, the scripture that came to me was from 1 Timothy 2, where, and this is what I was talking about earlier that kind of brings together all these points that we're talking about. It says, "First of all, I urge that prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, specifically for those in authority." And when you think of that, prayers, petitions, thanksgivings, that really encapsulates what we've been talking about and what Derek has been talking about this past week. You're talking about praying for people, bringing your petition to the Lord, but you're also talking in terms of thanksgiving, you know, and saying well of these men. You know, I think the point that you've made, Stephen, which is so powerful, is that we badmouth these people thinking, well, we can just get away with it. It's our luxury. We can say whatever we want about these people. But actually, we need to be blessing. And even those who are opposed to us, ideologically, we need to be blessing them as well. We need to say well of them.
You know, Dick, like you, I've been in the other nations of the world, and I love the nations of the world. I love Middle Eastern countries and many of these places that I've spent a lot of time. But I got to tell you, there's something special in the United States. I realize we're embattled. I realize there's a strong turning towards immorality and materialism. But we do have an amazing amount to be thankful for. You know, I'm going to go to church this weekend, and I'm not going to really be worried about anybody kicking in the door and machine gunning me.
Right.
I'm going to go to a nice home. You know, it doesn't matter what my socioeconomic level is. I have a decent home in this country, and I'm going to drive a car on safe streets, and I'm not really worried about anybody shooting me in my car or arresting me and hauling me off to a gulag. And here you and I are on a radio show, and we're talking about Jesus openly, and there are many nations in the world where we would be arrested, and we'd have to do this from some underground basement with smuggled tapes. There's so many things that we have to be grateful for in this country, and I'm wondering if just in this last minute or so, you would just take us to prayer as the president of DPM and offer thanks to God for the many wonderful things that we enjoy as Americans today.
It'd be my privilege to do that, Stephen. Join with us as you listen today in prayer for our nation and for God's purposes and plans to be accomplished for us. Father, we come to you with a heart of gratitude right now, thanking you for all the blessings that you poured out on us. Lord, we want to say to you that we don't take those for granted. We are very aware that you have blessed us and blessed our nation far beyond our capacity to give you proper gratitude. But we do want to turn to you today and say thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for all the things that you have given us. And now, Father, we bring before you the leadership of our nation, starting from the president all the way down the Supreme Court, all the representatives in Congress, for those who are in every layer and every strata of government. We ask, Lord, that you would let your wisdom, let your grace operate in their lives, and let them make decisions that will bring glory and honor to you. And Father, we thank you for this life that we lead that is so blessed. We want to return thanks to you this day. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Dick, I can't add anything to that. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Stephen. Look forward to the next time together.
It'll be great. For Dick Leggett, the president of DPM, for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again next week as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your own copy of Through the Psalms for only $14.95 when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. It's because of the faithful financial support of friends like you that Derek Prince Legacy Radio is on the air. Call now with your special gift and help keep the legacy alive. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can send your support securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.